once more, Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13 will be the main focus. We're aiming specifically for verse 13, but we're going to have to look at 1 through 8 once again to find out where we're going and why we're headed that direction. Before we get there, her Bible is talking back to her. I guess we have to think about that when we hear the song, Word of God Speak, with technology nowadays. Was that a hallelujah? Amen, little boy. 2 weeks ago, does anybody at least remember the chapter I talked about? You're close, probably. I see you're thinking. Ephesians chapter 4. My main point was, every one of us as individuals has been given a gift or gifts. But the interesting part about that is not for you to use all about yourself. It's for you to use for the benefit of others. We talked about how we like gifts for ourselves. You know, if I gave you a gift card to go eat out, and I said, you know, bring somebody that you meet on the street and share a meal with them, you're like, no, you didn't give them a card. You gave me the card, right? Trying to get little kids even to share their toys. No, they got their own toys, right? Well, that's not how the gospel works. We've been given gifts by God for the benefit and the blessing and the edification of others. Well, last week wasn't too far away. We didn't do very good on our memory on 2 weeks ago. Last week, passage, James chapter 1. Where does every good and perfect gift come from? From above. God is the author of every good and perfect gift. In the gift-giving season, and this still is the season of gifts, we tend to ask people what they want for Christmas. And a lot of people do that. You know, you want to get somebody a gift, and so we begin to ask them what they want for Christmas. Some people don't even wait for you to ask. They'll just come up and tell you, hey, if you're thinking about getting me a gift, here's what I would like. Right? My wife yesterday said, if you're still making a list, put this on it.
I said, is it too late to add
to her list? I'm going to ask Philip to make sure this pulpit, okay, the pulpit mic is on. I'm going to play you a little. I don't do this very often, but let's see where we can go with this. All right, y'all ready? I hope we're ready. I see some of y'all grinning. What does the little girl want for Christmas? A hippopotamus. We're going to have a good time this morning. Y'all are right there with me already. She wants a hippopotamus for Christmas. I was thinking of it this way, though. I wonder if, when heaven hears Luke pray, if that's not how my prayer begins. In other words, I'm not really asking for a hippopotamus. But listen up. Luke's praying. What outrageous thing is he asking for this time? I was kind of like, whoa, I hope they're not playing that intro to my prayers every time I pray for the Lord. Yep, Luke's praying again. Y'all heard it. There's the hippopotamus coming through. I want you to remember that, not white elephant, but that hippopotamus this morning as we go through this. Does our prayer life resemble our culture when the things that we are asking for are outrageous things? We want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Or are we a little more thoughtful in the things that we do ask for? In verse 1 of chapter 11, and we're going to speed through this, so follow along closely here. Oh, excuse me, I got a picture for you even. Keep that in your mind. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. The disciples in verse 11, came to pass that as he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he stopped, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And Jesus said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I'll give you a shiny nickel if you can show me a hippopotamus in those verses. None of those things were hippopotamuses, were they? Those were all very specific spiritual requests. But Jesus doesn't stop there, and this story is important. He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Now, just a heads up, if you knock on my door at midnight, you're going to get my wife. I'm not even going to hear the door, okay? So you need to think about whether you want to wake her up or not. But here's the idea. You need to borrow something that's late at night, and you go. Which one of you has a friend that will come to your door? And they're listening. And they're listening. They know you're home. Your cars are home. Jesus says that friend cries out, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give you anything. Jesus said, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give it to him because he is his friend, yet because of his, King James got a big word here, and I don't think any of you used it this past week, for his importunity, shameless persistence. You ever been with that person? I know they're home. Just keep knocking. I know they're there. That's what he's talking about. This person who is persistent, they're not leaving till somebody comes to that door. They may even get louder. Hey, I need some bread. Why is the man going to get up? Jesus says he's going to get up, not because the man knocking on the door is his friend, because if he doesn't get up and give him bread, that man is going to sit there and knock on the door and wake everybody up, and everybody's going to be upset only for that reason. Not because he's a friend, but because this guy is persistent. He will give him as many as he needs. He can be like, here, you asked for 3, here's 5, leave. Not because he's your friend. That's as important. He's not doing it out of kindness. You're being a pain in the backside. He wants to get rid of you. And I know none of us ever do that. We want to get rid of the people at the door. So we tell them something just to dispense of them easy. But this relationship here is a friend and a friend. And the friend says, my friend's got what I need. I'll ask him for it. And this guy isn't looking at the one knocking at the door as a friend, but as a pain. And the only reason he gives is because this guy is being a pain. Are you still with me? You still with me? Okay. Verse 9, Jesus tells us about the importance of persistence. I say unto you, ask, and some of your Bibles have keep on asking. That's legitimate. The idea there is continual. Ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you shall find. Knock and keep on knocking, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. So now all of a sudden we've got this great pretext to go to the Lord in prayer and ask for every hippopotamus we want. And that's what you hear a lot of people say. You just go and ask, and you keep on asking as if you're going to wear the Lord down. You just keep on knocking on his door, and you're going to wear God down, and you will get your hippopotamus. And I'm going to remind you back up in verse 1, when they asked Jesus, teach us to pray, they're not asking for hippopotamus. When Jesus tells them how to pray in verse 2 and 3, there are no hippopotamuses there. Jesus takes their question and he raises it up a level. He does it once again in verses 9 and 10 as he relates it to the story, a friend with a friend, but the friend that is supposed to be willing to give because he's a good friend only gives because his other friend's being a pain. But Jesus says, you knock and keep on knocking, you're going to you're going to get it. The door's going to be opened. Verse 11 begins to give us some insight into what is happening in this passage. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? One of your children or one of your grandchildren come to you and say, I'm hungry, can I have a piece of bread? You're going to give him a rock? No, what are you going to do? Now, Jamie may say, Mariah, I've already given you 15 rocks. One more is not going to help you. She's just a constantly eating little thing. But that's not what we do with our kids. If they're genuinely hungry, we give them something good to eat, do we not? A good parent doesn't force their kids to eat black-eyed peas. If they don't like them, they give them something that is good. And by the way, if they don't like broccoli, if they don't like cauliflower, if they don't like any of those green things, give them some thyme. Let them find somebody that knows how to add bacon to it or cook it in gravy. Help it get better. They can grow into it. But no parent really forces their kid to eat something that makes them sick, do you? You give them something they like. You give them something that's good because it helps them do what? Helps them to grow up. Or if they ask you for a fish, will you give him a serpent, a snake? And in their time, we're not talking about like a garter snake or a grass snake. That serpent there is the poisonous ropes. These things are deadly. Will you give them something that's going to hurt them? Verse 12, if he shall ask for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? Now, Jesus does this a lot. He goes from one extreme to the other, one ditch into the other. What's an egg and a scorpion got to do with anything? What's a fish and a serpent? A poisonous one got to do with anything? A piece of bread and a stone. Jesus is arguing from a lesser to a greater. He is arguing from a lower point to a higher point, and he sets us up for verse 13. He says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Let's stop there and meditate for just a moment. If I were to take a poll before we read this verse, most of you would not identify yourself as being evil. Now, if I gave it just a little bit of different flavor in words that you would understand, sinful humanity, you might be willing to recognize that. But notice what Jesus calls sinful humanity. What? What does he call it? Evil. It's the Greek word for evil. It's bad. There's nothing good. Apart from Christ, what are we? Nothing good. This is imperative. Apart from Christ, we are nothing good. I know we don't like that, but it's worth thinking about. We, apart from Christ, are nothing good. And if we, who are nothing good, know how to give good gifts unto our children, and we do, how much more shall your heavenly Father give? Now, the heavenly Father is not fallen in sin. He's not evil humanity. He's not sinful. In God, there is no darkness. In him, there is no light. In fact, in the Gospel of Mark, when the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus responded, why are you calling me good? For there is none good save God. And the concept here is this. God has no sin. There is no earthly man, apart from Christ, that has no sin. Now, not everybody's as bad as they could be. Imagine if we were all as bad as we could be. Everybody's not as, not everybody takes that fallenness and runs it to the extreme, but every one of us in here is told a lie. Every one of us in here has had a murderous thought. I'm going to ban you from electronics. You know, there's a little button on there. If you turn your volume down, if you turn the volume... No, the side button. Turn the volume all the way down. It can't make a noise after you do that, I promise you.
Okay, we'll see.
Okay, we're going to see. Jesus never had to worry about sounds like this in his messages. Of course, he didn't ask you to open your scroll either. You had to be content on memorizing it. So it's just one of those things in the modern age. And by the way, in case you don't realize that, putting your phone on silent with the top little button, the speaker, does not turn off your audio player. All it stops is your phone from ringing out loud, which is what she's understanding now. That little silent button at the top ain't enough. Jesus says there's nobody good save God. There is no sin in God. There is no darkness in God. 1 John chapter 1, God is light, and in Him is no darkness. I'm going to stay on this a little while. Y'all aren't confident enough to say that loud with strong opinion. Is God good? Does God ever make mistakes? Do you think sometimes He doesn't do what's right for you? Thank you, Brother John. Yes, we do. But what are we supposed to fall back on? Wait a minute. Even though my opinion and my feelings say that, what do I know about God? He's always good. Everything He does is good and is going to work out, at least for those who love Him, according to His purposes, it's going to work out good for us. We learn from James chapter 1 that every good and perfect gift comes from above. It comes from God. There's only one good. We're not it, but being parents, we give good gifts to our children. We don't give them things that will harm them. You know, your child comes to you and says they're thirsty. You don't give them a glass of bleach. No, that's sickness. Those people need to be dealt with, but that's horrible. But Jesus is appealing to the mass here. We give good things. Now, if we, being fallen, know how to give good things to our kids, how much more a God who has no sin give good things to us? What if we're asking for hippopotamuses? Well, this is my point, my main point in what I'm bringing out this morning. I'm going to contend typically that a lot of our prayers are about hippopotamuses. We don't think of them in spiritual terms. We don't look at it in terms of, you know, God, if you bless me with this, I can minister to these people over here. God, I want a new golf club. I want it to help me hit an extra 50 yards every time I swing that thing. Well, depending on who you are, that actually may be a ministry because now you're going to curse less because your golf ball is going further, even though it's not the golf club that was doing it. It's you, but I'm being facetious. There's a lot of that goes on in the golf course. There's a lot of it that goes on in the gym, too. A guy was telling, you can't help but listen. He were talking next to me, and I'm working out on a machine. There were him and another guy's working out. He says, I don't cuss around the kids at church. I turned around and looked at him. I said, at church? Why would that even come out of your mouth? But he's so accustomed to it, he has to be on special guard for it. Sometimes, though, the things we pray about, they're all hippopotamuses. And I'm going to even argue sometimes that we're going to put a coat of many colors on some things that we shouldn't, because only God really knows what's good in that circumstance, in that situation. Jesus makes a jump in this verse 13 from a lower point, evil parents or fallen humanity, fallen parents giving good gifts, to a good heavenly Father giving good gifts. Now, typically what we pray for are physical things. And James chapter 4, verse 3 tells us what? We have not because we ask not. And when we do ask, we ask amiss because we ask that we may consume it upon our lusts. Hippopotamuses. You catch what I'm... You're going to think about hippopotamuses all week, and that's by design. Because every time you think of a hippopotamus, you're also going to be thinking, I'm praying for things that a hippopotamus is not spiritual. I need to think on the spiritual things, not the physical. Right, let's go ahead and go there. How many of you, Lord, what I would like best for Christmas is to get a handle on this weakness in my flesh. I would like your Holy Spirit to come in and help me defeat, whether it be that tongue, that thought, the eyes, the ears. Help me, Lord. That would be the best present I could receive this year to overcome that weakness and that temptation. I never put it on any of my Christmas lists, I can tell you that. Probably should have. And in light of this message this morning, I should have. Because what does Luke want? Exactly! Yesterday, I could have used an airplane. So, Mr. Jim, you need to get that committee together. An airplane would have been really great Friday and Saturday. I'm just saying. I'm not even working on my second one. I would still like that first one. A boat wouldn't do. Airplane. Or a helicopter. Take me hard longer to fly that, but that's okay. Hippopotamuses. I wonder if our children are learning from us as adults to ask for hippopotamuses. I'll describe verse 13 this way. Jesus gives Luke logical whiplash when he makes that statement. To go from talking about the physical, talking about the tangible, talking about the temporal, and elevating that concept that he is leading us through in this passage immediately to something spiritual, something higher, something greater than my flesh typically would ask for. Typically. And what does Jesus say the Father will give them? The Holy Spirit. Now, wait a minute. They didn't ask for a Holy Spirit. They said, we want to learn how to pray. Jesus said, this is how you pray. Now, think about how you pray. He said, well, a friend's going to come on your door and knock, and you're not going to get up and give them anything good because they're your friend. You're going to give it to them because they're a pain. You want to get rid of them. And if you watch in this passage, Jesus is working from here, and he keeps adding up on a higher way of thinking. They're wanting to learn how to pray. And then Jesus enters the conversation, ends the conversation in verse 13 with this. If you ask your Heavenly Father, He's going to give you the Holy Spirit. Were they asking for the Holy Spirit? Does Jesus know better what they need? Why do we need the Holy Spirit? From Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 27. Paul writes, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now, who's writing this? Paul. And we tend to put Paul on a pedestal, do we not? And Paul says, we don't even know what to pray for. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, and he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And so even in this passage, we see the disconnect between the will of our flesh. We don't know what we should pray for, but the Holy Spirit is going to pray according to the will of God. And if you ask anything according to the will of God, do you have it? Will you get it? Oh, absolutely. Anything you ask in accordance with the will of God, He is going to give you. Paul says, we don't know what to pray for. And it's good that we have the Spirit of God, because He knows how to pray for us. When you think you know what you need, do you ever ask yourself to stop and consider if you really know what you think you know? I need another pill. I need another shot. I need another doctor. I need another job. I need another fill in the blank. I need another car. I need another telephone. Whatever it be. Is that really what you need? Do you really know what you need? Are you listening to your flesh? Or are you listening to the Spirit? Now, I can tell you, if you're watching ads on TV, they're made to appeal to your flesh. I can promise you this. You go to Burger King and try to get what they put on that commercial, what you get in that wrapper is going to look nothing like what you saw in that commercial. It just doesn't. But they use this to appeal to your sense of, that's going to taste good. Look at the juice dripping off of it, and the French fries are always perfect. But that's what they're designed for. By the way, that's what a lot of Hollywood movies, man, they can introduce a problem, and within 25 minutes, commercials notwithstanding, fix it, and everybody goes home happy. And then you walk away confused because you've been wrestling with something for a week, for a month, and you're not seeing any result. Well, they did it on TV like that because you're listening to that which appeals to your flesh. Ain't one of you would watch a movie where after 30 minutes, you're just barely digging in to the issue. No, you want what? You want resolve. That's why you don't like cliffhangers. My daughter told us to watch one of the, wasn't the Hobbits, it was the Hobbit. And so she's putting it in and watching it. She had seen the Lord of the Rings, the trilogy, all three of them. And so she's like, I'm going to watch the Hobbit. And then as it gets near the end of the movie, you're not near the end of the plot. And I'm beginning to think inside, this is good. And she's like, this ain't going to end this way. I said, I bet there's more to come. There were two more to come after that. But we want resolve now. We don't like having to think about things. You tell me I'm wrong. We go to the doctor and how fast do we want him to fix us? Look, you spent 15 years putting your body in that shape. Don't ask him to fix you in 15 seconds. Right, Ted? There's only one miracle worker, and it's not Ted.
Now you got my wife.
I didn't say that. It's not big pharma. The Lord's the only miracle worker there is. And as much as we may want resolve it instantly at that moment, it's not always going to be instantaneous. But we have this promise that if we were to ask for the Holy Spirit, the Heavenly Father is going to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. And then if we continue to read through Paul, Ephesians chapter 6, he says when we're praying, that we're praying with all prayer. And by the way, this is at the end of the spiritual armor. So after you armor up, then you're supposed to pray. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. I like how he just throws that in there. You're like, Paul, how do we do that? That's what he said. We're praying in the Spirit, right? And it's capitalized because he's talking about the Holy Spirit. I'll back up one. Jesus had told us that our Heavenly Father knows what we need even before we ask Him. And then, to make it even a little more intense for us, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 17, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now think with me, according to what Paul is saying here, we've got two voices, not the devil and an angel, but we've got the Spirit and our own flesh, each vying for supremacy over us. If we remove the Spirit, who's got supremacy over you? Your flesh. That means what you ask, you're going to ask in your flesh. Even if we say it, even if we agreed, it's a good thing, it's still coming from what? Your flesh. Maybe I can prove my point this way. Notice the prodigal son's father did not go to the far country to get a son. Now we might say that's a good thing, go bail him out. Prodigal son's father waited till his son came to his senses. Then he clothed him. Then he robed him. Then he ringed him. And then he threw a party. So even sometimes what we may all agree is good is still according to our flesh. It's not according to the Spirit. But Jesus tells us, here we are in Luke, that if we ask the Father for this perfect gift, He will send us the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit is going to pray and intercede for us, according to Paul in Romans, over the desires of our flesh, which is what he's talking about here in Galatians chapter 5, because the flesh and the spirit are contrary to one another. They're not both kind of going in the same direction. They're going in opposite directions so that you cannot do what you would want to do. If you're trying to walk in the Spirit, your flesh is going to oppose you. If you're trying to walk in the flesh, the Spirit, if you're saved, is going to war against your flesh. That's why Paul in Romans cried out, "Who's going to separate me from this body of flesh? I thank God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." We need His Spirit, do we not? We're asking for hippopotamuses. What Jesus says we need is the Holy Spirit. If you, being evil, know how to give gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Now, we're going to ask a very easy question. According to the book of Acts, has the Spirit already come? Absolutely. At salvation, you receive the Spirit of Christ. Paul tells us we're sealed by the Spirit of redemption. We don't get Him later. We're sealed at the moment of salvation, which means God says, "My property." But our flesh doesn't go away. That's why if you're riding with me down the road, you're going to hear me talking to people in the other cars, even though they can't hear me. Because the flesh doesn't die easy. Or maybe you go to the restaurant and you're going to the buffet table for the fourth time that visit. I mean, sometimes, I'm just saying, Golden Corral sometimes gets their bread pudding just right. I mean, just right. How can you turn down bread pudding that is fixed the way you like it? Your flesh says, "Go!" The little doctor on your shoulder is saying, "No!" Maybe even your own brain is saying, "Wait a minute, you spend how much time at the gym? Forget the bread pudding. You're trying to make advances, not go back." Our flesh doesn't die easy. So instead of asking for hippopotamuses, Jesus says, we need to ask the Father for the Holy Spirit. Now for His disciples, they were going to get the Holy Spirit, but He is elevating them to quit thinking on terms of physical, to think of higher order. Ask for the Spirit. And then when you don't know what to pray for, what's the Spirit going to do for you? He's going to intercede on your behalf because He knows what you need so much better than you. You may think you need a new job, a new set of co-workers, and God says, "No, I want you to stick it out because what I'm going to teach you or do through you there is going to be better than you bailing." And by the way, this is a room full of people that have bailed out of situations that didn't stick it out. It's the way our environment is. I mean, we're a mobile people. You don't like your state? Get in your car and move. Right? You don't like your house? Sell it, get another one. Hippopotamuses are what we want. And by the way, when you want hippopotamuses, that's just a reminder, your flesh, you may have subdued it in other places to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God, but in other places, it's still needing to be crucified. According to this passage, does God give good gifts? God gives good gifts. Which means the Holy Spirit is going to be a good gift. It's going to be the best gift. Jesus also tells us then to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things, these other hippopotamuses, will be given to you. But you don't seek the hippopotamus first. You seek God and His kingdom of righteousness first. And it's to my chagrin, on Luke's Christmas list this year is not a wish for spiritual strength. It's not a wish for greater spiritual understanding. In fact, She's asking me what I want, and I've tossed out a few things. I mean, I'm just kind of, whatever. Never understood people. They say, by the time you get to us, we just kind of go buy what we want. And just, I know a couple, they didn't even give each other Christmas gifts anymore. No, we get our stuff through the year. Didn't understand that at first. Now I kind of get it. But if I'm thinking about gifts I would really like, typically my mind goes straight to the tangible. My mind goes to thinking, man, I need this kind of wrench. I'm not going to use it very often, but boy, when you need it, whew, you need it. You know, a special tool, maybe something you cook with, or you may not get it out very often, but when the time comes for it, look what I got. I got a lifesaver. Say, but you're a preacher. You're supposed to be always thinking about spiritual things. Who told you that? Always? You'd be negating my humanity. But I say that not to make light of it. I say that to say that's to my chagrin. For my mind should be on the heavenly things and not the hippopotamuses. Even when I pray for you. And because sometimes it's hard not to pray God doesn't bail you out. Yeah. Jesus just walk up to their boat. They're tired of tossing on the wind. That's what we would like. Give me an instant verse and fix this, Brother Luke. That's not life all the time. Sometimes it is kind of easy. Sometimes it's just a simpler reminding you, God's good. Do you really think He's trying to sink your boat and kill you? Let's emphasize the word trying. God don't have to try. God does or He does not. What you need to be convinced of is He's good and that He loves you. Because if He is good and you believe that and you believe He loves you, you're not going to doubt His goodness towards you. You're not going to understand what you're going through. I agree heartily. You're not going to understand it. You may not even like it because your flesh is uncomfortable, but you're relying on this. God knows best. One of these days, little girl, you're going to know how many people prayed for you in this church, and you were just a little nothing. And at times, it's been a test. But God knows what's best. And I'm going to remind you too, till the day that you're no longer here, I'm not here. This was an answer to our prayers. God knows what He's doing, even with Corley. For those of you who don't know the story, they were praying that they would get custody. By the way, this ain't Grandma and Grandpa. This is Abraham and Sarah. They were old when they did this. This was great Mama and great Papa. How many people would step into that role? And all that was at the forefront was the good of the little girl without thinking about what it would come at what cost. But that's what Christ did for us, though He knew what He did was going to cost Him everything. He gave it all to redeem us from all that enslaved us. Our Father is good and He gives good gifts. And He even does give us some things that we ask for, some hippopotamuses, because I think He likes watching us full of joy and, you know, and sometimes probably amazed. That's really what's going to make them happy? But how what Jesus teaches me here behooves me, instead of thinking about the earthly things, to call out to my Heavenly Father, lead me by Your Spirit. Lead me according to Your Word. Lead me not according to what I see. Lead me not according to what I hear. Lead me not according to what my flesh desires. That's hard. But I bet for some of you right now, if you were to begin and continue thinking the way you've already thinking, man, if I could ask for God for one gift this coming year, if by the end of next year at this time I had this whatever fill in the blank taken control of by His power, I would be a happy camper. And what does James say? You have not because you ask not. The spiritual blessings are ours. And when you've got the Holy Spirit, if you will walk according to the Spirit, He's going to pray and bring to you everything you truly need for that. And then our God is so good. Sometimes He gives us more than what we need. I've got a clothes closet full of clothes. I've got more than one pair of shoes. I may not want particularly what I have in the cupboard or the refrigerator, but I've got food. I wouldn't starve. There's restaurants. If God's put money in my pocket, I can afford to go eat. I've got options. And if I've got options, I'm better off than the children of Israel in the wilderness. What's for breakfast? Manna. What's for lunch? Manna. What's for supper? Quail. The same thing we had 364 days ago for 40 years. God has supremely blessed me with much hippopotamus. But what I really should be desiring is not the hippopotamus, but the spiritual power, the spiritual insight, the spiritual wisdom that only He can give. That only He can give me. So I ask you this morning, in this gift-giving season, you've probably told a few people when they've asked you, what would you like? What gift is it this year that you really need? Now let me say this, and I mean this sincerely. If you are missing a basic necessity of life and you don't come to me, I can't help you with your basic necessity. Okay? Basic necessity is not an airplane or a boat. Food, water, and shelter, and clothing. Beyond the necessities, am I desiring those things that would help me to be a better minister? And I'm not talking about pastor there. A minister to, if I'm teaching kids at a school, that I'm actually communicating to them. That I'm able to actually make sense of what I know here so that when they walk out of the classroom, they can do 5 plus 3. Make a better communicator. Or, I'm a bus driver. Bus drivers can set the tone for the kids on the bus. The bus driver, you get on the bus and the bus driver's happy, the kids are going to be happy. The bus driver's got a scowl on his face. Sit down and be quiet. The kids are going to load that bus ride. So maybe as a bus driver, they would need to be a better minister of joy and peace and happiness. Doesn't mean you got to let them run like heathen up and down the aisles. That's not the point at all. But the tone you set. And it goes across the board. Are you happy on your job? If you're not happy in communicating to people the joy you have in the Lord, why not? Is it because the Lord gave you a bad gift? Or maybe the Lord gave you what you asked for, and when you got it, you found out that's not really what I wanted. Well, guess what? Serve Him anyway. He knows what He's doing. Even if He gives you what you asked for and it really wasn't what you needed, and He gives it to you, He still knows what He's doing. And He's a good God. So what are you asking for? The gift we truly need as Christians, to be led by His Spirit. There's nothing greater you could ask for than to simply be led by His Spirit. Not the end of the year, but I'm already thinking of how this would impact my next year. If I'm weighing what has transpired a year from now, did I keep my eyes upon the spiritual things that God has for me? Or have I focused on the hippopotamus? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads together as we pray. Our Father in heaven,